morning, everyone. I'm Deborah. Hello, hi, hi. So my testimony is about spiritual inner healing. And I'm already going to start crying. But it's tears of joy, don't worry. So for those of you that don't know what I do as a profession or as a calling, I am a midwife. And I am blessed to be part of God's miracle every single day. But not everything is sunshine and roses. So the 6th of June, 2018, a very good friend, doctor of mine, and I, we were busy doing a normal delivery of a mom that went into premature labor. And everything was going well. Normal things were happening that we could expect, and in between the contractions, we were still trying to make light of the subject and joking around. And then things just started going not so well. And long story short, we rushed the mom to theater. Baby was delivered. We resuscitated on the baby for 45 minutes. And it was not successful. And for a long time after that, I lived with this guilt of, did I resuscitate properly? Was I doing my compressions properly? Was I going deep enough properly? Did I waste time laying my hands on her belly and praying in the spirit? Was I praying too much in the spirit while we were resuscitating that I wasn't concentrating enough? And I just lived with this guilt, and I was broken. So broken that I would go to sleep crying. I'd wake up in the middle of the night crying. I'd wake up in the morning crying. My husband at one stage, he just didn't know what to do. He just sit there and just rub my back. What else can you do? And I was crying out to God, and I was saying, Lord, what did I do wrong? Please forgive me. Help me heal. And the one morning before I was going to work, I was sitting and I was in my quiet time, and I just broke down, and I was praying in the spirit that my eldest son actually woke up, and he came to me and he said, Mommy, what language are you talking? But anyway, and then a few days after, I went to bed and I was crying myself to sleep again, and I had this dream that we were in church in the old venue, and there was nobody there except myself and Nas. And Nas just said, angels, come. And I had the sensation building up inside of me like a pressure, you know, like a hose pipe that you're holding closed and the water's building up, and then all of a sudden this water gets poured out. And I woke up with this pressure coming out of me, and it was in the middle of winter, so you know it must be dark. And I was just praying in tongues and in the spirit, and our whole bedroom was alit. It was bright. Not like someone switching on the light. I mean, it was bright. And I was just praying, praying, praying. And then all of a sudden went dark again. And I just breathed out. And I went back to sleep. And the next day, I realized when I was praying for that mom, I wasn't praying for the baby to live. I was praying for healing for them. I was praying for healing for myself and praying for healing for the gynae that performed the surgery, because she was just as broken. And she's just as faithful, and she's also healed inside. And the next year, that same family came back with a successful pregnancy. And except for the anesthetist, it was the exact same team that was in theater with her. And I just want to testify that, yes, I cry now when I talk about it, because I feel their loss for them. They lost a child, but I'm crying out of joy because God has healed me. He has healed them. Their faith has not been touched. My faith has not been touched, and the doctor's faith has not been touched. So I just want to testify that God is awesome. He will heal. You just need to stand in faith, and it will happen.
Okay, can I take this off? All right. Morning. It's lovely to stand in front of you as my church family. You've really it's friends and it's church that's become family. I think to give you context to my testimony, I'm going to give you two dates. And I don't give them to you to evoke sympathy or emotion, but I give it to you to see the contrast and to see how God can reach in and how good a father he is. The first date is the birth of my youngest son. So that was on 3 February 2016. The second date is the day that my husband went to his eternal home. So that was the 30th of November 2016. Within that timeline, Rian started experiencing headaches and pain. We thought it was IBS towards the end of 2015, and it was all treated as stress-related. Just before Benjamin's birth, we were in a cell group in the Durbanville gemeente or community, and they prayed for us as a family getting a new little baby, just to keep us in a bubble. And I interpreted that as meaning, you know, that I would bond with my baby, the nursing would go well, you know, that it would just be that transition and that would happen. Benjamin was born on the 3rd of February, as I told you. It went well. He was a happy little gemakkelijke babiekie. Daar was nie koliek of enige van daai goed nie. Rian went into hospital on the 14th of February. He couldn't anymore. The pain was excruciating. It was a Sunday. It was Valentine's Day. We went to a locum, and they immediately booked him into hospital, all kinds of tests, top to bottom, to see what was wrong. By the 21st of February, they found a stage 4 aggressive tumor in his brain, so inoperable. The news that they gave us, 6 months with no treatment, 18 months with treatment. He fought for 10 months before he peacefully went home. In that time, it was a steady decline. There was a brief moment in September where it looked as if, you know, things might improve, but it just went like that. It was a shocking experience to see someone that you love go through that. And I can honestly tell you, I don't know how humanly you would not be able to cope within those circumstances. I could nurse my baby in those circumstances, and somehow we just kept going. After Rian passed away, Zach was 3.5, Benji was 10 months, and it's obviously difficult to comprehend how something like that could happen. My relationship with God had always been, I'd always experienced him as a gentle, loving God whose favor and whose blessings was abundant, and this shook everything that I understood about him. I could not understand, how could you call yourself a good father and do that, not to me, but to my boys, 3.5 and 10 months. Till today, and November this year, it will be 5 years, we are still in that bubble. And again, it's not through anything that I deserve, it's not through anything that I did, that we are where we are today. My boys are happy, content, settled, well-adjusted little men. They are comfortable with who they are. They are comfortable with their identity. They know their heavenly father. They know their earthly father. They know where he is. And their names were also so significant. Zach's name means Jehovah remembers. And in 2013, when he was born, little did we know what that would actually mean, but God has really remembered him and kept him and has brought people into our lives to build them up and to just, what's the word, you know, solidify their identity. And even Benjamin, the joy of the Lord is that child's strength. And I don't think he grasps what it is, but one day I hope that he understands. He is happy, but yet he's got this, I don't know, he's tuned in a way that I've done nothing for my children in that. It's not anything that I could have done in my own strength, and even in my, let's call it, in that condition at that point. So I think today that I can stand up here and testify to four things. First of all, Psalm 23 was just something that I learned off by heart at school. It didn't have the meaning that it does today. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. His rod and his staff, they do protect me and my boys in countless, countless ways. While Rian was sick the whole time, and he was in a lot of pain most of the time, and he would always say, "The Here se genade is genoeg, his grace is sufficient." And it was sufficient, and it is sufficient, and I know it's going to be sufficient. And the second thing that I learned out of this is that he is a father to the fatherless, and he does take special care of widows. And I've experienced it in not just people coming to me and telling me all kinds of nice and comforting things, but in the practical way that I've gotten to know members of this body. I didn't have to ask for anything. You were literally the hands and feet of Jesus, and I want to thank God for placing you in my lives, because again, ek is verstom if I just think of everything that you guys just did from the moment that he was sick to his passing. It's just a provision, and I know it's a godly provision, and I want to encourage you to keep on being his hands and feet, because sometimes the little acts or the little things that you do, you don't know how much it means to somebody else, because it meant a monumental amount and it made a huge change in my life. What did I write on my papierki? Yeah, so God, that bubble is the third thing, and he stayed in the boat. I think one of my misconceptions that I had was that being a Christian exempts you from all the bad things that happen in the world. Disney, that doesn't happen. But I think what makes it easier is that you know where to run, or you know where to go, and you know where to take your shelter. So Psalm 91, where he covers you with his feathers, it was my favorite, it is my favorite, and it's the way that God has continued to look after me and my boys, with that same gentle, fatherly love. So even though I thought that this whole event changed who my father was, it's not. He's been the same constant, gentle, loving, caring father, and I know that he will continue to do that. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I think before I say anything else, I was going to say a short phrase like, off, 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 off. Oh, I'm saying that because I was the most vulnerable at that time in like sharing with people. And yeah, they said that, and it was like, I didn't understand it. But yeah, sometimes it does something to your mind and it takes you back. And yeah, I thank God for what he's done in my life. I would be a liar if I would be sitting there and say, niks het gebeur vir my nie. So I came back to God, to the Shofar community. Like, gedink, ek het gekom met die, like, ja, bedoeling dat, ja, Here verander die, van ander my omstandighede, Here verander net my die toestand waarin ek leef, en, maar God het, vir my kom verander, en het iets in my hart kom doen, en, ja, ek is nie altyd perfect, ek doe nie altyd, kry nie altyd reg, maar God het iets in my hart kom doen, en God het iets in my lewe kom doen, en ja, ek is dankbaar vir God daarvoor, en ek is dankbaar vir die liefde wat ek ontvang het, vir myself, groepleiers, Naas en Jolandi, vir net wat hulle vir my gedoen het, as hulle my ontvang het, nog elke woensdag as ek daar ingestap het, wat familielede nie eens vir my kon gedoen het, pastoor het baie gesê, ook al, when you don't have money, then your family doesn't love you, en Ja, ik kan testify daarop. En ja, ik zie het voor God, dank je. Voor wat hij in mijn hart komt doen, het, in mijn leven komt doen. Het, en ja, ik heb een rijkere persoon binnenkom worden. En ja, ik sta dankbaar voor God. En dat is een proces. En het pad wat ik met God gestapt heb. En ja, het was een woestijnroute. En ja, in die woestijn is daar is warm, daar is zand, daar is scherpioenen, daar is cactussen. Ja, dat is, ja, ik heb de woestijn ervaring gehad. En ik zeg voor de Heer dank je dat ik is, ja, een rijkere persoon in hart en in spirit. En eer God daarvoor. Ja.
Hi, church. I thought I was going to kick off with the word, the verse that says, so they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I want to encourage you guys sitting here that haven't booked. I didn't book. I'm taking Gina's place. yeah, share your testimony. With the blood of the Lamb, it makes you overcome. It helps you overcome. But this morning when I woke up and I switched my phone on, something popped up on my Instagram feed. And I'm going to quote that now. And the quote is, miracles happen. Sorry, let me try again. Miracles happen where trying ends and trust begins. And wow. That has absolutely been the story of my life for the last 2 years. Most of you know that the Lord started me on a new journey 2 years ago with my own business. moving from being employed and getting this nice comfy paycheck every month to one of what's going to happen next. I've shared a lot of the testimonies. It's been a constant journey of miracles and provision and faith building and so on. I'm not going to hop on back on any of that. But through all the highs and lows, after lockdown was quite a crisis for a new business. And yet, after lockdown, my motto was, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it's fine, because I know the Lord won't have brought me to where I am to let me down now. And that was my motto. And somehow every month things worked out and they worked well, and we kept on keeping on, and every month there was a new testimony or a couple of new testimonies. But at the end of March, I found myself in a place where I was beginning to doubt that. I'd lost one of my really best friends, and things were just not lekker. Work had gone really quiet, and I was going, another week of this, we are in serious trouble. And that first long weekend in April, Gina sat me down and she said, listen, I've got a word for you. And that word has absolutely become a revelation to me. When she shared it with me, all the lights went on. And I've shared it with a couple of people already. And I'm trusting that it'll mean something to a couple of you as well. And what I'd like to call it is the, shall we call it my Abram-Job comparison. Think about it. So both Abram and Job were facing the situation of losing basically everything that was near and dear to them. And take a minute to think about how the two of them handled that. Our friend Job, like the most of us when things go badly, and he says, that I feared the most has come upon me. Abraham was obedient to God. He took Isaac and he started his journey to the mountain in obedience to sacrifice Isaac as God had said. What was the difference between the two of them? Abraham had a word from God. He had a promise from God that God was going to make a mighty nation from him through Isaac. And such was his faith in that word that God had given to him, that Paul writes, he believed that if necessary, God would raise Isaac from the dead. But he just had to be obedient and trust. We don't read that Abraham, I'm sure he was stressing. But I mean, what did he say to his two servants that went most of the way? The boy and I will go ahead to worship the Lord and we will return. How God was going to work it out, that was God's problem. And God did provide. And when I saw that, I just realized, you know what? It's not my problem. I just have to remain obedient. I'm living according to a word that God gave me, and that's it. How he works it out is not my problem. You know what do we remember Peter for? We remember Peter for, okay, making a whole lot of mistakes. But we remember him for walking on the water. You know, he wouldn't have walked on the water if he wasn't in that storm. That light went on for me that day. It was that first long weekend in April. And I just stopped stressing. I said, Lord, you know what? If you have to resurrect masters, panel beaters, and I mean, masters panel beaters. I mean, like, really? Okay, I'm putting the S in there, but that's how I see it. And it's my shop. I can do it if I want to. If you need to resurrect masters to stick with your promise and your word, that's fine with me. I'm not going to stress anymore. And I walked into the shop on the Tuesday morning, because the Monday was a public holiday. And you know what? Since that day, the work hasn't stopped coming in. But wait, there's more. So what happened? The tax got stronger. And that's where I've learned in the last couple of weeks. The Lord gave me, a year ago, he gave me the word, your new lesson that you have to grasp is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know what? He renewed my mind with that revelation of Abraham and Job, because it's not my problem anymore. And I'm going to share just one example of the severe attacks that we've got. So I can't remember what day of the week it was. We're busy pumping. The guys are spraying cars. The guys are busy sanding. They're busy doing all the stuff that we do. And so I'm sitting in my office busy invoicing, and next minute it's got dunk, darkness. Eskom, there's no scheduled load shedding. So, okay, run around, go see which breakers have tripped, what's tripped what. No dead breakers, this is really weird. Go next door, the neighbors have power, everybody's got power. And the little white bucky stops in front of my shop. And he says to one of the guys is trying to find out if all the neighbors' power is on. Go call your boss. So I walk out to the back. He says, I'm from Eskom. I've just cut your power. And I said, that's not very nice. He says, well, I'm just a contractor. I was told to cut your power for non-payment. I'm saying, I haven't paid for 2 months, but I've got a credit with Eskom. He says, I just work here, dude. So I said, I just work here too. And 20 people that work for me, what do we do? He said, well, you can phone this number or this number, but everybody's working from home and da-da-da-da. Short version of a long story. From what he told me, I realized I was going to be without power for 5 days. Okay? Long weekend on its way, that would mean effectively it would be the end of the following week my power would come back on, if I was lucky. He says, you know what? I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to try and see if I can make a couple of phone calls. Because I'd said to him, look, buddy, I've got a credit with Eskom. And while he was trying to phone, I stepped back and I phoned Gina. I said, Pray. We've got issues here. Pray. He made a couple of phone calls. I think he was as surprised as I was. He got hold of the lady, top of the food chain. He said to her, listen, this guy says he's got a credit with Eskom. What's going on? He looks it up. She says, yeah, there's been a mistake. Put the man's power back on. And I put my power back on, and I walked into the shop, and everybody's going, because by that stage, this is the condensed version. I'd said, go try and get hold of the contact people at Eskom, try and get hold of them. But everything's on the computer, and everything's off. You can't get hold of nothing. I walked in, and they're going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Must we get a genie? I said, it's fine. They're turning the power on. And I said, what? I said, but God. So, if I can just say that again. Miracles happen where trying ends and trust begins. He's not a good father, he's a great father.
I've got two sort of testimonies. The day we got saved, my husband and I got saved at the same time. It was in 2000. And at that time, I didn't know what a happy clapper was, and I didn't know what being born again was. I was a little Catholic girl, had a communion and first catechism, and that was it, and ran out of church. So when we went to the church we wanted to find a church that we both liked. So we went to church, and there was an altar call. And I don't know how I got up there, but I was there. I think I floated. I left my kids and my husband here to hold them. I gave my life to the Lord, and since then, it's all history. It was beautiful. And obviously, with Chris and I, we fighters. So whatever the church taught us, we fought against, you know? And then in Bible school the next week, all our answers were there, okay? And we'd fight again the following week, and then go to Bible school, and all the answers were there. So that's how God had to deal with us when we were born again. But, you know, God has taken us through almost losing our house. Our house was put up on auction. We didn't even know about it. We just had a thing on the door. The kids took the poster down, put it on the table, and they phoned me at work and said, Mommy, they're going to auction our house off. And I went, okay, don't worry, darling. Everything's going to be fine. And I was busy with my boss. I mean, I only just started at Brights in 2008. And they put this thing on the ground. And I said, don't worry, Mommy, we'll sort it out when she gets home. And my boss said to me, what's wrong? So I said, no, it's nothing. It's just the children. And they obviously read the thing out to me. So it said, we're going on auction. And then when the boss went out, and then I phoned and I found out we needed to pay up 50,000 rand. And during the recession, 50,000 rand was huge. Now I've just got that lying in my bank. And so the boss was back with me, and we were busy working, and he said, what is wrong? So I said, no, it's nothing. He said, if you don't tell me, I'm not leaving your office. So I told him. I said, the bank's looking for 50,000 rand. They're auctioning my house. And he said, wow, okay. And we carried on working, and he went away. And an hour later, he called me up to his office. He said, Sharon, I'm giving you 50,000 rand. Get the banking details for me, and we'll sort out payment whenever we can. A guy doesn't know me from a bar of soap. I'm serious. I just started a week ago. And wow, that was like miracle number, big one, okay? It's not small amounts. And my recent miracle that's actually busy. It's busy gang. I've always asked the Lord to get me out of debt. My debt has been paycheck to paycheck. You know, you run, the debit orders will come off, and you'll sit with 200 rand left for the rest of the month and pray that you make it, you know. And I said to the Lord, how can I be a blessing to anybody if I've got nothing to bless them with? I mean, I'm blessed with my time and that, but there's people that need food and money and stuff, you know? And about three weeks ago. Well, actually, Chris Woods works for my ex-boss, Santoni, and, Petfin now. And they've got property. Mr. Gomes has got lots of property. So they've, out of the blue, decided to start selling some of the houses. Now, Chris has done an estate agent course, and he obviously can't sell the house yet. He still writes his exam. So I couldn't believe that they were going to sell some houses. So we've got my daughter's husband's mother is an estate agent, and so we said, okay, let's ask Mr. Gomes if he'll give her some of the houses to sell, you know? It's more in the family. So anyway, so she got hold of how many houses? Five houses. She sold them all, eh? Okay, she sold them all. I'm still keeping up, but there's more to come. So she started putting these on, and they obviously, I hope no one's Portuguese here, but, you know, they always try and get the best out of you. The lower the commission, so they lowered it quite well, quite lower, but don't laugh, you're Portuguese. It's like me, I'm Jewish, I guess. Anyway, so some of the houses were sold, and she started giving Chris a kickback. I have now been able to pay off two big debts, okay? It's been such a relief. It's like, where would we ever get the money from? Never knew. No one just, yeah, 50,000 or yes, 100,000 or, you know, no one just does that except God. So I've been able to pay off two debts now. So at the end of this month, I'll have some money left at the end of the month. but it is only God. I didn't want to give a testimony because, you know, everybody talks about prosperity. But what I'm saying is that when you're in a tight spot, God, this is prayer, long prayer. This has been basically our whole marriage type of thing because it was easy to get into debt. It's credit card here, clothing account here, another clothing account there, and game card here. And I was just mugging up the cards, but I could never get out of it, you know, just paying the minimum. And what do you do? So God's getting me out of it. Boy, I'm going to be debt free soon, except the house. But Lord will pay the house. But then I can be a blessing to all of you. But thank the Lord. He's come through. I'd never expected at all. Amen. At all.
Morning. Thank you. Yeah, my name is Kudakwashi to those who doesn't know me. Yeah, that's my name. I just want to give, I'm very glad to give my testimony to you today. I can say since I met Shofa, I wasn't work and my family was in Zim. But I was just praying and my prayer request to everyone when I meet is like, oh, I need God to bring my family here in Cape Town so that I can stay with my family. Since my child was born, she was almost like 1 year, but I was seen maybe when she was 6 months. So I was just worried about that. So when I came, I meet Ben, he asked like, oh, your prayer request is just to God to bring the family here, but do you have work? I said, no, I don't have work. I'm still looking for a work. Then he said, no, I can work with you so that you can get something to bring your family. So I worked with Ben, till I managed to bring my family. Well, at least I was working with Ben. I was looking for fiber working. So I meet Gina at church. Then she said, no, she know one of the companies that are specialized in fiber. So she came one day when I was working there. Where were we working? By Dion's place, yes. Then Gina came, she fetched me there. We went to Nano Fiber. When we get there, you see, I was so excited, like, no, I'm going now to look for one of the works that I'm based in. We meet, oh, we meet that guy's wife. She was there. she was the receptionist on that company. But you see, when I get there, I just saw her and I recognized her. But Gina couldn't recognize that one. So it's like she was like, oh, do you know each other? Because she see the way we are greeting each other, like, oh, these guys, they know each other. So from there, we went and we have a discussion with her. She told us what was required. That's why I couldn't manage to get work from them. So after that, it's like we separated with Ben. Then I find work on the other company that is on liquidation at the moment. But before I get work from there, I managed to bring my wife through Ben. When I brought her, she had like a pimp on the one of the eyes there. And that pimp is like, there were kids who were playing, and then they just throw her eye with a smaller particle of sand. So she had a pimp. When she get here, that eye is like, that pimp were growing and got to another eye as well. So it was, it was inside on the other eye. So she was just complaining like, oh, my eye is very sore. So one day I took her to clinic. Before I took her to clinic, I just came here in Cape Gate to see the optometrist. Then she put something like powder inside the eye. So that pimple were becoming like big and there was something white inside there. And she was saying, no, I can't wait. Can you just take a needle and punch that thing to take out that white stuff that were inside? But I was scared to do that. I just say, okay, let's go to the clinic and ask the doctors to do that. When you get to the clinic, we couldn't manage to see the doctors. We didn't get opportunity to get inside. So I booked an appointment through the phone. When I booked the appointment, they gave us a month, like you have to come next month. But for her, it was too difficult because she was crying with her eye. So after that, I decided to take a thorn and I just punched her eye and throw and push out that the stuff that were inside. After that, they were at hospital, they were just sending like messages, reminding messages, like, remember, don't forget to come next month on this date for your booking appointment. But for the eye, it was like she was starting recovering because pastor and other church members, they were praying for her every time. That was our prayer request. So one day I meet Sandra at Nicole's place when we were praying there. Then she just said like, oh, you remember, Kuda, I'm a doctor, but I can advise you not to go to the hospital because when you get there, they will just cut and open a wound for unnecessary thing. This thing, you must just pray on it. Let's just pray, but don't go there. So my issue was, I already booked the appointment, so how come you can say I mustn't go there in case next time she have another problem? When you get there, they will say like, oh, these guys, they are just booking appointment, but they doesn't fulfill it. Said, no, don't worry about that. I am a doctor as well. I said, okay. So we prayed about that thing, but till that day, I can testify that everything is dissolved. She don't have any problem again on her eyes. So I just want to thank God about that.
Die Here is groot. Die Here is sterk en hy is almagtig. En hoekom sê ek dit? Hy het vir George Wilson opgelig daarso. Ek wou nie hier wees nie. Maar God het gesê, jy moet jou miracle wat ek aan jou gedoen het, moet jy bekend maak en jy moet testify daarvan. Ek en my vroukie besoek nog hier so, ek is George Wilson, met my vrou Elma, en Millie is my dochter, en Graham is my seun, baie trots op hulle. Jy weet, julle het net nou genoem dat miracles nog bestaan. And I want to, let's change over in English, I see we speak English in this community. I can speak a bit of English. This morning with the praise and worship, I saw God just giving all his power into everyone here. And And whatever came out there went deep. You understand what I say if I say it went deep? It wasn't just superficial. It went in deep into the soul of man. What I want to tell you, and this is what God tells me, you are looking at a miracle at the moment. I should not have been here. And I'll explain to you why I say this. I grew up in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and I was still a chokerki. I was still crawling. And this is what my parents tell me, and the weather was bad, and I was crawling in the passageway, and as the lightning struck, the front and the back door was apparently, I was too small, I can't remember that, apparently opposite each other, and a ball of fire came into the front door, and it went through the back door, and I was busy crawling, and I was just out of the way, and then this ball of fire went through. That's miracle number one. I was about 5 years old, 5-7 years old, and we all know the coast, Coolbay, Royals, Hanklip, Betty's Bay. That long stretch of sand at Coolbay, and I'm not going to make it a boring story, I just want to just get to the point. The water pulled me in, the seawater, and as I say, I was about 5 years old, and yeah, I don't know for how long we were in the water. My mom was there as well. And we know the stretch of that Coolbay beach. If you look at on your way to Betty's Bay, it ends there. And if you go, obviously, but that whole beach, the seawater took us and kept us in and out and in and out and in and out. And het ons later uitgespoel. Weer 'n wonderwerk. Die Here is goed vir 'n mens. Elkeen van ons, elkeen van u, het daar al 'n wonderwerk gebeur mee. And perhaps you're not aware of it. It might be very minute, but a miracle has happened. Then, that's not finished. And then, I grew up in Betty's Bay, Claymont, finished my school at Caledon, and anyway, living in Betty's Bay, my sister and I walking, and it was toevallig op my verjaardag, on my birthday, and walking a pathway, and there was a snake, and now what do you children do? You kill the snake, and I was busy killing the snake, and as I wanted to pick the snake up, and my took my foot like that. Picked it up and 5, 10, 15 further, I said to my sister, I said, Glenda, the snake has bitten me. What? Yeah, the snake has bitten me, and I showed her the two fang marks on my heel. Now, what went through my mind is just, you must just calm. Jou hart moet nou nie begin dit doen nie. Jy moet nou net rustig wees. And I went home, and my sister ran in front of me. She got my dad, and he came out, and he met me halfway, and I said, Dad, is this snake poison? He says, yes, yes, yes. I said, Dad, we'll have to go to the doctor. This is Betty's Bay. This is a geelslang. Fortunately, Dr. Jacobs was on holiday, and he was living about 50 yards away from us, just behind us actually. Got there, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't have, the saliva was running out of my mouth, and my dad had to carry me, and fortunately he had all the serums there, and he did what he had to do. And that whole night my mom sat with a tourniquet 24 hours, or 5 hours on and 1 minute off. 5 minutes op and 1 minute off, switch on out. So that was that, and let me tell you one thing, having a snake bite injection is sore. Ek onthou dit nog. Okay, that was that. And then I drowned. Caledon swimming pool, I was there, the boys had their time of having a swimming in the pool, and the girls had their time, and long story short, I was found at the bottom of the pool where they trod on me, and when they touched me, I came up, and they did the necessary resuscitation, etc., etc., adrenaline injection into my heart, and here I am. Praise to God. God be the glory, and your. And me visiting the Shofar Church, I do not know all of you yet, but believe you me, I love you all. Yesterday we were at the encounter too, ne? And your, what I learned there was not things that I didn't know. It's just you seeing it in a different light. And thank you to all. And then just the last thing. I'm a smoker. I was a smoker all my life. And no, Lester, you know. And end of the year, sitting outside there, and I just started speaking to the Lord. And that doesn't really happen. I cannot recall that I've done that in the past, but I just said, Lord, I'm smoking, and I want you to help me stop smoking. And I said, but I promise you I won't smoke again. Lord, I promise you that I won't smoke again, but you must help me. And I finished that cigarette, and after that, I have a bit lus geraak for a cigarette. And you know what? And I just speak to God again. I said, God, help me, please. I'm now listening for a smoke. And I haven't smoked yet since. And I've been smoking since, since age 13. So it's not me. It's not mankind that can do things like this. You must give your everything to God, and believe. Because I told him, if I fail, you must help me. Yeah. No, but is that nie anders as 'n lewende God nie. Baie dankie.